Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Is this Noah?
Sure is.
Hey, Noah Dyer, good morning. And just for the audience, Noah, we talked about you a little bit earlier, running for governor, and I take it you're in Tucson today.
I'm actually in up in Phoenix.
Oh, up in Phoenix. Well, it's something I'm sure you're going to be seeing a lot of, and that's the windshield of a car. if you're running for governor, and
yes,
I know
absolutely, yes.
I know that you just came to Yuma last week, and it was great to see you, and I know you spent some time at the Bragg Gym, and really you got involved in the judo and the jiu-jitsu and the boxing and the sword fighting. So all of that, I guess, and where most politicians are out kissing babies, you were throwing grown men to the ground.
Exactly. That was a fun experience. The kids put on an awesome, demo clinic, and I was glad they wanted it to be hands on. It would have been fun just to watch, but it was even more fun to put on some gloves and get thrown.
You didn't hesitate. You just jumped right into it. It was awesome. Hey, but now running for governor is going to be a little rougher, though, than even the judo. Yeah, but you
know, no.
you don't come from a background of career politician. You don't come from a background of holding many offices. Your background's in education. And what made you decide to say, look, it's not what I've done, but it's what I should do?
So when the last election cycle, certainly in my lifetime, was one of the, was the darkest. And what we kept on hearing over and over again was the lesser of two evils. And I didn't know very many people who were excited to cast their vote.
Okay.
And so I thought, what I said to myself is I'm not a perfect person by any means, but I'm an intelligent person and I do care. And I'm going to put myself out there and see if people want. We say that, nobody's attracted to politics. We say politics attracts the dregs, right?
I know some great people that are community leaders and great people that are holding office. And
that's true. So I don't mean to suggest that literally every single politician is bad, but we have, there's a lot of distrust out there. And I think you can agree, no politician, Democrat or Republican, has ever stood up and said, I think that a complicated tax code will serve the people. No politician has ever stood up and said, I think public schools should struggle. And
yet,
we have a tax code that is complicated, and we have struggling public schools. And so when what we get delivered are things that no one has ever promised us, and many people have stood up and said they're against, I think it's perfectly reasonable for people to ask themselves, what's going on here? Like, who can I trust?
Well, you're right, and we're going through a lot of that right now, and it has escalated over the decades, the vitriol, the distrust, the attacking one another, and diminishing your opponent's character. In order to get a step ahead, and of course the character of everyone's gone down. The poll numbers for our satisfaction with Congress, our satisfaction with the president, our satisfaction with everything's gone down, because all we see is constant attacks. That I understand, but you won't be free of all that either. There's going to be criticism thrown at you and attacks. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but it's on its way.
Oh, I've certainly seen it. Fortunately, one of the things that, I was blessed with is a tough skin.
Okay.
And so I have been attacked. I assume I will still be attacked. And, that's okay. I would like to think that the other candidates who run in 2018 won't be the ones doing the attacking, that would be coming from from non-candidate people, but I'm sure it'll happen from candidates too, and it's okay. Oh. I can handle it.
It won't happen from candidates directly, but believe me, they'll know about it. Oh, it's Dyer. His last name's Dyer. Mel's asking me your last name is Dyer. Noah Dyer. Okay. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Mel's asking me in a note, but you couldn't see it. Now, I know as an educator, and it's got to be an issue with you, and you've mentioned education, you've mentioned teachers, you've mentioned failing school systems. It's half of our budget right now. Half of the state budget goes into education. What do we need to do differently?
Well, I'll tell you, there are two things. There are kind of two classes of problems in education. There are those that we can solve without changing anything financially, and there are those that would require more taxes.
Okay.
So I'll talk first about the things that we can change without doing anything differently. We don't have to raise more money. We don't have to do anything else. The first thing that we can do is, while I agree that not all regulation is bad, I'm not a huge fan. I don't want to overregulate industries or anything else. Education is actually an industry that is, in my opinion, currently in a state of hyper overregulation.
I'm going to, and I know enough to agree with you, but what would you do to change that?
I think that we can easily pass laws. So, most legislators aren't educators, have never been educators, do not have degrees, and are not well studied. The only thing that legislators do have, and I don't mean to criticize, is they've come up through the school system, so there's some intuition there, but there's not a lot of formal knowledge about it. And yet, the legislature historically has really tried to impose a lot of rules. It's kind of like, if you see that your math student is struggling, the way to get them to do better is not to put them in a math classroom for 8 hours a day. Right? That's not going to pull out their achievement. And what the legislature has done with education on the whole is similar to that. So we say, we make people spend more time teaching to the test, and there's all kinds of paperwork and
sure. We add more bureaucracy because bureaucracy is killing us, so we add bureaucracy on figuring out why it's killing us. And I know that. I've seen it. And there's a frustration, particularly in public schools. We're not talking charter, but public schools, where they get millions of dollars, but it's all regulated to go to certain areas that they don't need. And then they bitch at them because you got all this money and you're not doing it's not going to the classroom. Well, they regulated it not to go to the classroom. Where in a charter school, they say, here's your money, spend as you see fit. And they've got the freedom in the charter schools to appropriate the money to the areas that it's going to do the best for the education of the student.
Absolutely.
Right.
So so what you're talking about there works for charter schools. Still have some, at least theoretically, regulation that is perhaps burdensome. But to your point, yes, they do have more flexibility.
Correct.
And,
Well,
the legislature has shown trust there.
Well, that's what legislators do. If they see a problem, they make a law to fix it. That's all they do.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
So the speaking of charter schools, the next area of improvement is parity for charter. So while I am proposing some deregulation of education overall, there are charter schools and public schools get the same dollars per head.
Well, kind of, sort of, but no. So not theoretically, but both have some advantages in different areas. Charter schools can't do bowling,
sure,
stuff like that. But yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. So what is challenging is, so public schools are accountable directly for those dollars. If you want to know how any given dollar is spent in a public school, there are public records that, that you can find to do that. Charter schools are not.
Correct.
So
there's some reporting, but less of it, yes.
Yeah, but the reporting is about projections, not about actual spend.
Okay.
And so that creates an opportunity. And I don't want to say that all or even most charter schools are you know, creating sham budgets and then spending the money however they want. But too much of that is going on.
Right.
I've had many charter school teachers and administrators come up and say, you know, what's going on at my school is not okay. And I think that's a simple fix. You just require charter schools. They don't have to change. You know, charter schools that are spending the money honestly don't have to change anything. It's just that all schools that are taking public money should be accountable.
You know, our current governor, Governor Ducey, is a big fan of charter schools and has actually pushed to make sure that charter schools are, you know, well-recognized. And a continuation of the school. I mean, his idea that the school belongs in the backpack of the kid, and whatever school he lands at, that's who gets the money that's funded by the state government. And
sure.
Would you change that?
No, I would not. I would,
okay.
Again, I would just
but you're in
provide,
favor of you're okay with voucher programs.
I'm not comfortable with at least the voucher program as it stands today.
Okay.
And there's a variety of reasons for that. First off, and we can dive into that. I guess, to wrap up the thoughts on charter schools, the other challenge with charter schools is that they play by a different set of rules, which creates misinformation for parents. And that is this. You know, if the number is $7,500, it's not exactly $7,500, but, you know, if the number is $7,500 per head, you know, regular public schools are required to do busing and special ed and free lunch and after school programs and all these sorts of things that those dollars have to go into. Whereas charter schools do not. So they have this flexibility that we're talking about. And then because they don't have those programs, and there are students who struggle at charter schools. And again, I'm not criticizing charter schools on the whole, but when students do struggle at charter schools, they get kicked out, and then they go to public schools that now have to clean up this mess, and they don't have the same levers to get rid of of students. And so the public schools end up being graded lower because of the effects of the charter school students that they take after the charter school doesn't do well.
And I know in some cases that has happened. And I think we've got some great charter schools and we've got some great public schools. But there are some some rules that are I guess, a little more lenient in some areas that would make it better. But to fix that problem, to get into that,
exactly.
You know, you're talking some major changes. And of course, again, legislature, you have to go through all that stuff, legislation.
Yeah.
And not an easy deal. And I know half our money's going there. And legislatures, rather than reduce regulation, think they can fix it by increasing it.
it's
what they do.
You know, we live in a state where the ideology of the legislature should be, or at least ostensibly, is in line with deregulation. So I think there would be a decent chance of that. Certainly, I don't guarantee.
Well, yeah, but the deregulation mindset, you know, being a conservative state and more Republicans, would be on businesses. They don't see government entities the same, because government entities should answer to government. So they see themselves as the regulators for that, but not for private. So you're right. There is an attitude out there.
Yeah. I see what you're saying, but I guess what I think we could all agree on, you know, there's a reason that we oppose over-regulation of business, is because we think it crushes it, right? And so even if you are in charge of regulating education, I think we all agree that there's at least theoretically some point at which there's too much. I think we're already there. And I think legislators who are sympathetic to overregulating business could also be made to see that, you know, that problem may be going on in education. But to your point, it will require, political information and working together and, lots of people coming together, not from the same party, so bipartisan. It will require all of those things. But I think that there's enough, shared recognition of those challenges.
Now, you mentioned also that you would not be opposed to raising taxes, ask for tax raises in order to supply more funding for our schools.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Right now we are. I can't remember if it's dead last or 48 off the top of my head.
Depends on which survey you look at, but yeah.
Yeah. So, but school funding is, something that is just, that's just math, right? Dollars that go into school per student. And so it's not even, it's not about achievement, which is somewhat subjective. We definitely spend, I think it's literally last.
Well, and yes, it is close, but it's not as it's not as bad as it sounds on the surface. When you look across the great states here, average income, like in Maryland, number one, $70,000 is our average. That's our average income for the state per person. And Arizona, we're half of that. Well, no, we're actually 46.
Right.
But so yeah, there's going to be a difference in what a teacher makes in Maryland versus what a teacher makes in Arizona. But also, there's going to be a difference in the housing, a difference in the taxes, a difference. So I think if you take all that into account, it's not as dismal as we say, because no teacher across the nation is at the top of the totem pole. It just isn't.
No, and that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
I think that there are a couple of different things to go on there. And this is actually where my problem with ESA vouchers come in. There is not a private school in the state that is doing it for less than the government-run dollars.
So I don't know if that's true. I don't think that's true, but I don't have that in front of me. But I think it is a little cheaper.
I am not familiar with a single school. I mean, the scholarship is less, but the problem with scholarships is that.
But it doesn't matter. Doesn't it come down to family choice? If the family says, I want my kid to go to this public school or I want my kid to go to this private school, that it's my choice? Isn't it the family's choice, regardless if it's the same money or not the same money?
So I don't think that. Here's the. In government, we cooperate to get things done. Traffic lights are not every individual driver's choice. It's a choice that as a group, it's done for us and it benefits us. And schools need a critical mass. You can't herd cats and expect, or you can't let every cat do what it wants and expect a great school system.
So we can't let the, parents do what they like. Is that what you're saying?
I am saying that school choice is a great. So school choice is a parents should have choice.
Okay.
But it should not be an absolute buffet of just total and literal unconstrained choice.
Unless you're wealthy. If you're wealthy, you got opportunity.
The thing is it shouldn't have to be. That's my point.
Yeah.
That is precisely my point.
Well, and that's where we were, though. We were in wealthy. Look, my kids went to a private school because I could afford it.
Okay.
But not everybody could, and I think that's wrong in this country. But I think the answer
Do you mind sharing what the tuition of your private school?
It was like $7,000-$8,000. It was a Catholic school here in Yuma, Catholic high school.
Right.
But I had to pay that personally. That wasn't any vouchers.
Absolutely. So
I had to pay that.
With a $5,000 scholarship.
It doesn't matter. But my point
is, still coming out of pocket $2,000 or $3,000, and that still is not just like, oh, well, now like a whole new audience of people.
I think everybody in Yuma should have that option, whether they can afford it or not. I think it's the kids, And if the tax dollars are going out there for the kids, then they should be able to pick those schools that they want to go to. And I don't think it should be wealth that dictates that we can make
That's
a choice.
Not the same thing as universal health care, right? Like, I think everybody should be alive.
No. Universal health care is a single supplier.
We can't unlimitedly keep people alive. I mean,
no, people, no. Universal health care is a single supplier. I'm saying we should have multiple suppliers and let us choose. And we should have many suppliers of insurance, not just one.
But there comes a point at which you are offering. What we should do is make a few choices better. We do not need more choice. It's like we're coming out with, you know, more versions of razors, you know, right? Like, we don't need more versions of razors. You know, if people want to compete on that level, that's fine. It's totally private. I really don't care.
Right.
But, you know, we're being offered more than we need. And in the case of education, a parent should have the choice to go to school or to send their kid to the school that's a block away and rely on it being good. That is the choice that should be offered. If we solve that problem, if we make it so that the schools that are in people's neighborhoods are good, and then they still want more choice, okay, then now we can move on to offering more choice. But we're not solving, and just throwing more choice at a situation is not inherently problem solved.
Okay. And you and I would disagree, but I like the variety because, believe me, they're all different. I mean, they're totally different. There's no one-mold-fits-all education program in Yuma anyway. I mean, the charter schools are doing many different things, and some of our schools offer different different opportunities, whether it's an ROTC opportunity or an auto shop opportunity or a specialization in something opportunity. So they can't do that at every neighborhood.
Again, but charter schools, I think, is a great system because it is public. Like, you aren't coming out of pocket to go. So charter schools are open to everyone. They literally cannot discriminate. They based on any factor, whether it's educational attainment, and there are things that they can do to be more selective and whatever, but theoretically they're not supposed to.
Right.
And at least as far as the money goes, they do not require, you know, you don't have to come out of pocket with additional thousands of dollars to go to any charter school. And this ESA voucher program does. So first off, private schools do not have tons more space. So it's not like private schools are saying, like, gee, we could take on 30,000 more students, but they just can't afford the tuition. Like, they are priced so that they could be at capacity. And this new dollars is just going to move up price because they were already serving students.
I think given the opportunity to expand, they'd all join in on that probably, but I don't know. I can't keep going, but it's interesting to talk to you.
Yeah.
Now, I want to make sure people know your website, how do people get a hold of you?
So noahdyer.com, NOAHDYER.com.
Okay.
Facebook is AZGov, and Instagram and Twitter are AZGov2018.
Now, there's a lot more that you've got on your website that we just didn't get to as far as gun issues, correction reform, election reform, jobs, budget, health care. You're pretty open on your ideas on all of them, and we hope to get you back on and start talking about more of them.
I would absolutely love that anytime.
All right. No, you take care, sir. Take care. Bye.
Thank you, Russ.
All right. And with that, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. AM 560 KBLU.